All righty, everybody, welcome back. We are here with another episode of the Weeb Weekly. I am joined with two amazing human beings. Mizu, Travis, say hello to the listeners.
Hello, hello, everybody. Excited to be here.
Mizu, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? I'm doing fantastic. Can't wait to have an interesting discussion because, you know, certain trailer popped up on our radar. Nothing major or nothing like that. What is it, Travis? I don't get the hype behind it.
It's a small independent film. You never heard of it. Black Panther 2, maybe?
Yeah. There's a ton of things happening around the world of entertainment, but I think Black Panther 2 kind of took the world by storm, breaking records and all that jazz when it comes to viewership on that second trailer. How did you guys feel about everything that we got? We got a ton of sneak peeks. I just wanted to get your reactions first, and then we can dive deep into it for the people.
Honestly, wow. I will say this. That didn't have the emotional grip like the teaser did. Not okay. As close, but wow. I mean, then again, that teaser is something that you really can't compete against. Mm-hmm. So, but I like how we got to see more in the trailer. We got to see the possible conflict between, you know, Wakanda and Talokan, Khan, that's what is being told. And another thing, I'm going to say this again. Namor looks dope. He looks so amazing. I am welcoming this change. This, in my opinion, this change was needed because, again, you know, people have that whole argument about, you know, Aquaman and Namor being the same, and Disney was thinking to themselves, like, yeah, let's make him different, especially, you know, how successful the Aquaman movie was, you know, Jason Momoa. So how can you compete against Jason Momoa? And, but yeah, Namor looked amazing. I like how they kept true to his character. He has the pointy ears. The man's got the winged feet. Man's flying across the screen. I can't wait to see that. The man just looks badass all over, overall. And I want to see what his story is, because he opens up the trailer by talking about only the most broken people can be the best leaders. And I'm like, oh, who hurt you? Who hurt you, my friend? I want to know. It looks freaking phenomenal.
I agree. Okay. I agree. How about you, Travis? How did you feel about the trailer?
Oh, man. As Mitsu said it perfectly, that first teaser, it's an impossible bar to reach. That was so emotional. I don't think there's any trailer or teaser I've seen that brought that kind of emotion out of me. But I am even more excited still from this second trailer. As Mitsu was saying, Namor looks incredible. It was a change that was needed. I'm way more interested in seeing Ironheart now than even in the first teaser, because Ironheart looks really cool. And overall, it just looks like it's going to be an incredibly made work. Like, I'm excited to see what Ryan Coogler does. I've read an article actually recently that said he was going to step away from Hollywood altogether after Chadwick Boseman died, but he decided to carry on regardless. And I think that shows that this is going to have so much heart, more heart than we've ever seen in any other superhero movie. So I'm really excited.
It has to do a lot. It's an homage to Chadwick. It's also setting up the future of the character, which we saw at the end of the trailer. We'll get to that soon. But I think we had a pretty solid idea of what we can expect, right? Ironheart is going to have her moment of her debut. Dominique Thorne looks great in the suit. The suit looks really amazing, at least from what we've seen. We've seen it flying through the street. We've seen her do the test flight. Tenoch Huerta, I think, looked amazing. This new redesign, as Mitsu said, was well needed. I think it fits more into this Aztec god type feel than just a man in a Speedo, right? It definitely fits like more of a superhero, and it gives him this aura of mystery. And you see it when he's talking to T'Challa's mother. There's like a deep contentious relationship there, especially since we've seen different types of people try to come into Wakanda to steal the vibranium, which is, I think, the crux of the movie is Wakanda opening up to the world and the world trying to take what makes Wakanda special, quote unquote, right? I just wanted to see, what was your favorite moment in the trailer?
Honestly, for me, it was just seeing Namor. Funny enough, and mind, this is coming from someone who wasn't well-versed. I knew who Namor was, but I wasn't well-versed in his stuff. I just knew that he was an anti-hero. He fights on the side of his kingdom. He has an in-and-out relationship with Invisible Woman, which is very interesting if they ever decide to, you know, bring that up. And he has a, you could say, kind of a frenemy relationship with Wakanda and T'Challa specifically. I don't even say friends. It's just that they're both rulers and they have to get along because, you know, diplomacy and all that stuff. So, but yeah, seeing him in there flying, the way he looks, it just, he looks more mythological. Like, he looks like someone that was right out of a mythological story. And hey, they've been playing into that. I mean, think about it. That scene where we hear M'Baku talk about him. Like, he's not a king. He's not a general. They call him Kukulkan, which means the serpent, the feathered serpent. They look at him as a god. So if you kill him, that's eternal war.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was freaking amazing. And then again, you mentioned Queen Wamanda. We see Namor talking to Queen Wamanda, and going off of the even the teaser, we see Nakia there, and we see in the background, we see the Aztec Mayan pyramids in the background. So it looks like that, yeah, they had a connection. Wakanda, to me, it looks like they already established that Wakanda and T'Challa Khan were already like established. They've known each other, and it seems like this is where they go to meet. This is where they go to communicate with them. Because we see Nakia there, and then we see even further with Queen Wamanda, and Queen Wamanda might have some type of, I wouldn't say connection, but something involving him. Because think about it. Like, why is she there? Why is Namor talking to her? What's going on with that? And then there's another scene that a lot of people got scared on, is that we see Queen Wamanda looking out a window in Riri 2, and we see the reflection of the window. We see Namor picking up his spear and about to throw it through the window. And a lot of people are speculating that Queen Wamanda might die in this movie.
No way. And
now here's the thing. No, I'm on the fence. It, to me, it depends on how they do it. I don't mind it. It depends on how they approach it. But at the same time, you're going to kill off Angela Bassett? Like, that's bold. That's real bold. But again, it all depends on what they're doing. And I definitely agree that Riri, I hope this is going to be a great introduction for her, because she's a character like kind of like Miles Morales in the beginning, where in the beginning, a lot of people did not rock with him, although there were a lot of unnecessary hate for his character. But ever since Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse came out, now everybody loves Miles Morales. And I hope she gets the same treatment, because she's another character that got a lot of hate when she first debuted. And, you know, people are using all those kinds of arguments and stuff. So I want to see her get justice. And there's a lot of people who are in her corner. Even Robert Downey Jr., before this even became a concept, he said, what is a character do you want to see debut in the MCU? And he said, Ironheart. Same thing with Tom Holland. Say, oh, yeah, I want to see Riri Williams be put into the MCU. And now we're going to get that. And not going to lie, from the angle that we got, her suit kind of looks like a Gundam, almost. Like a little mini Gundam mecha thing going on. I'm for it. I'm for it, for sure.
Yeah, no. Honestly, I love seeing Namor on screen, but it has to be Dominique Thorne. It has to be Ironheart that got me the most excited, because I saw all of the hate that she was getting. I saw all of the hate that the character was getting, specifically Ironheart. And I've just wanted to explore that character more. I never read the comics. And seeing her like this, seeing her Iron Man suit look kind of like a Gundam, I'm so excited. So excited to see her join the MCU.
Facts. Absolute facts.
I feel that. For me, however, I think the coolest moment in the trailer was finally seeing who the new Black Panther was. And I think that connects a lot to what you were saying, Mizu, of what if they do take out Angela Bassett's character? It might be that kind of Aunt May moment for Shuri, where she realizes that she has to step up and become the Black Panther as, like, let's say that they say that T'Challa left a note, or T'Challa always wanted her to, like, be the next Black Panther or something like that. Like, it would make sense for her character. to take that mantle as soon as something as big as losing her brother and her mother might be, you know? So that makes sense to me narratively. And of course, we got to see her in the last seconds of the trailer, and the suit looks amazing. She's got the dots on her face, just like her traditional... I don't know if it was makeup or if it was like actual like dots that she like put on her face, but it mirrors her aesthetic perfectly. I'm glad that we finally got to see the Black Panther revealed, and the suit looks good. I know seen leaks through the Funko figurines that were coming out for pre-order, and people are saying, oh, it's definitely Shuri, but we don't know if it's real or not. We finally got it. So how did you guys feel about that being revealed? It's not going to be Nakia. It's not going to be somebody else. It is going to be Shuri.
It's funny that you say that, because I like how you already said confirmed, because as soon as I saw the outfit, and yeah, I saw the helmet and the dots on it, I was like, oh yeah, that's Shuri. Hands down, that's Shuri. Everybody and the mother kept having the arguments. Oh, no, you could be Nakia. It could be Okoye. Some people even thought it was going to be M'Baku. Or even maybe a revived Killmonger and stuff. And once that came out, I was like, yeah, hands down, Shuri. But there's still people holding out that they still think it might be Nakia or Okoye. Because another argument someone brought up is that, yeah, we see the Black Panther come down. But if you listen to the music, apparently, it plays the Dora Milaje chant that they usually do.
Okay.
So some people are just like, oh, that could be Okoye. You don't know. And I'm like, come on, guys. Look, I will gladly, if I'm wrong, I will gladly eat my words. I have no problem with that. But let's just face the facts here. It's Shuri. Shuri, hands down, no questions about it. Plus, I mean, it would be also comic book accurate. I know there's a lot of people who are up in the air about that because they're like, oh, well, we haven't really seen her fight. She's not really good at fighting so far. What we've seen in the movies she's been in, she doesn't seem like the leadership type. So I've been hearing all these arguments why it can't be Shuri at all. But again, you didn't remember. They said that they confirmed that this movie is going to be 2 hours and, 45 minutes long, around 40-something minutes long. So at first I was just like, oh, dang, another very long Marvel movie. But for this one in particular, I'm not mad at it because there's a lot to explain. There's a lot you got to explain. And I'm pretty sure they're going to show Shuri, you know, developing, training. Because, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, you got to see her train. I'm pretty sure they're going to show her training. But yeah, it's hands down Shuri. Let's face it. Even the toys, if you look at the toy little stuff, they also kind of like pretty much confirm it's Shuri. But what about you, Travis?
Wait, this is a little much info. I guess I'm one of the people that is holding out. I didn't know we were just confirming now that it's Shuri. I think we should pump the brakes a little bit.
Okay.
I hear your points. I think you guys are brilliant people. These are solid points, right? But a part of me, I'm like, I don't know. You know, they might do a little shakeup because Shuri is so obvious. They might go a slightly different direction. And I don't know. That's my particular point on it. I do think it might be a NECA. It really might even be Okoye. It really might be. But I'm shocked to see you guys like super confirmed on it. But okay.
Well, I will give you this, Travis. One of the actresses who plays one of the Dora Milaje, she was like recently interviewed or caught up talking to some interviewer, and she confirmed that, oh yeah, there's going to be a big twist or surprise in the movie. Now take that as you will. That can literally mean anything, especially when it comes to the MCU. And let's be honest here. The MCU is 50-50 when it comes to surprises. Cause they're like, oh yeah, like, oh, I did not see that coming. And someone just like, well, we kind of saw that one coming. Oh, who would have guessed it was him or her or something like that? But that's a good question I'll ask you guys. Like, going off of that, what do you guys think the big reveal would be? In my personal opinion, I think that the reveal would be another argument I heard people say that there might be more than one Black Panther, as in, like, at least for the fight for Namor, then they might do a thing where, okay, they're going to have a bunch of Black Panthers fight, maybe confuse them. You know that whole charade thing that they do.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that argument. I think it might, the reveal might have to do something with Namor, for me personally. I think there might be something that they might reveal to us about Namor that we might not have known before. Or maybe they just might not kill him. I'm hoping they don't kill him. That would be so bad. Let's stop doing that, Marvel. But that's just me. What about you guys?
It would be such a waste if they killed Namor. After doing this kind of redesign, after taking this kind of leap of faith with trying to recreate the character like this, to just kill him in his debut movie, that would be crazy. I think, outside of who Black Panther is, I think the reveal really might be something more about Ironheart. Maybe about Ironheart being like an ambassador for Wakanda, or wanting to live in Wakanda for a while to learn more about their technology, or something about her getting like a Black Panther Iron Man suit. Like, but I do think it's going to be centered around Riri.
That makes total sense, honestly. Both of them makes both of those scenarios make sense. I think, in my case, I think the big thing might be setting it up for the future in terms of like what the Black Panther does in instead of just being a messenger for Wakanda or an ambassador for Wakanda. I think it might have to be a moment where Shuri or whoever gets elected the Black Panther has to become basically the world's Black Panther, because the plot of this movie is essentially people from the outside world going into Wakanda to steal their valuable minerals. In this case, maybe they switch up their policies, and you get an end credit scene where a villain is introduced, having Vibranium as now that they've started opening their borders or trading with Vibranium. So I think there's a lot to do in terms of the story, which is one of the most important aspects of it. And one thing that really stuck out to me is how the cinematography of the actual clips that we got, especially like the dancing scenes, the waterfall scenes, right, even the flight scenes. Did you guys notice that in the trailer a little bit?
Yes, the way they shot, both in the teaser and they showed us again in the trailer, the way the funeral is going to look, the way they shot that slow motion scene, all the beautiful people just dressed in white. I just know that funeral scene is going to mess me up. It's going to destroy me on the inside. And yes, I like how we see the shot where we see Namor just ascending to his throne in his Megalodon, and they confirmed it was a Megalodon throne room like that. Beautiful shot.
Yes, man. How about you, Travis?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It looked incredible. I didn't know that it was Megalodon teeth for the throne. That's an interesting takeaway from that. But yeah, definitely looked like a gorgeous, gorgeous scene.
For sure, man. And at least for me, it even hits home harder, because I've been looking at Tenoch Huerta's debut in the MCU for a long while. I saw him in Narcos and I loved him. He's a super talented actor. But I think we have to give a lot of props to Ryan Coogler and the rest of the production team for being for having the courage to, obviously they were filming throughout the pandemic. They had to make script changes as soon as they heard that the news that Chadwick had passed away. So it's just a testament to the dedication to that screenwriting prowess, and of course setting that up in the most beautiful way possible, in terms of the cinematography, and giving Chadwick that final hurrah that he definitely deserves. Even the fact that they're including a memorial service within the movie that fits the narrative, it sounds amazing, right? It's pretty much everything that we wanted to see. I wanted to talk to you guys because like it hit me so hard that I actually was looking into ways that I could, you know, improve the way that I tell stories and stuff like that. And I found out that there's actually things called like masterclasses And I found out that Aaron Sorkin is actually given one for screenwriting. And I'm actually stunned to find that so many professionals are actually making masterclasses. Have you heard about those before?
Funny enough, I actually looked into that myself, because one thing I always wanted to do is write. I always wanted to have this little fantasy of mine of making my own manga or book. And the fact that Neil Gaiman has a class in there just blows my mind. And I definitely want to write from the man who made Sandman and the freaking American Gods. I love that. I definitely got into that class.
Yeah, no, I heard about it too. Like, I looked through Masterclass. I'm going to look into Martin Scorsese. I had no idea that he was making classes for this. Like, I'm really excited to try that one out.
There's a ton of them. Yeah, I'm glad you guys knew about that, because I was stunned to see the full breadth of everything that's happening. But if you guys haven't heard about it before, masterclasses are basically classes on a wide variety of topics taught by the top people around that field. So they're around 10 minutes long, I believe, and they basically cover all the nuances that come with that specific topic, and they give you downloadable materials, class guides, recipes, and other things like that. As you can see, we've all looked at different aspects of the masterclasses and have ones that appeal to us, but you guys can find your own, the ones that stick out to you. And I highly recommend that you check those out, right? And just because you are a listener, right, of the Weeb Weekly, you can get unlimited access to every class as a Weeb Weekly listener, and you get 15% off an annual membership, right? So if you go to masterclass.com/weeb right now, you can get 15% off your first masterclass. I think that sounds pretty amazing, that it's masterclass.com/weeb. So go check it out. And you can get into your own masterclass for whatever you want to pursue. I think that looks pretty good.
Absolutely.
Great learning opportunity, and also an amazing moment to learn something new. And speaking about learning something new, there's a ton of stuff happening in October. And there's a lot happening on the anime side, on the TV side, on the movie side. What has been the thing that shocked you guys the most, or the thing that you're most looking forward to this October?
I'm not going to lie to you. There was one that I always was dead set on. And there's another one that I didn't expect to be excited for. So the one I'm excited for overall is Chainsaw Man. Can't wait for Chainsaw Man to be animated. So again, it's a fantastic manga. I read the manga. I finished the manga. So I just can't wait to see it animated and for it to be amazing and also hurt my soul. Another one that I didn't expect to be excited for is Werewolf by Night. I've been hearing some interesting things about Werewolf by Night. So for those who don't know, they confirmed that they're doing a Werewolf by Night Halloween special movie. It's going to be on Disney Plus. And so far, critics-wise, a lot of people are just like, this blew it away. It definitely gives you classic monster movie. And the premise I like about it is that it's a group of monster hunters all coming together to hunt a werewolf, but the plot twist is one of the monster hunters is the werewolf. So they're pretty much hunting each other down to find who the werewolf is. And apparently, one, it's also in black and white, and apparently people say it's actually pretty graphic. So I was like, huh. I'll be the judge of that since it's on Disney Plus. But people say it's pretty solid. It's a surprising looker. And I'm like, okay, I didn't expect to be this excited for Werewolf by Night. I'm definitely going to give that a watch.
For sure. I've been reading a lot of fun stuff about Werewolf by Night. It's coming out, I think, October 7th on Disney Plus. And I've seen a ton of reviews, especially from Fantastic Fest, which is where actually had like a secret screening. People thought that they were going to watch like Halloween Ends or something like that. And they actually got the first speak at Werewolf by Night. And they're saying that it's actually a full on 1930s style horror movie. And I'm like, okay, I'll take it. Apparently, it's only like an hour and some change long, which is interesting because they're going to have to pull a lot of stuff in a short runtime. But if it's good, I'll take it. And hopefully, we'll get introduced to the Werewolf by Night in, I don't know, like Moon Knight season 2, or get his own show eventually. I'm excited for that. Travis, what did you think about everything that you've heard so far. What are you looking forward to this spooky season?
Guys, great selections, but I think it's a two-way tie between the new Mob Psycho season. Actually, I'll go with this. What I'm most excited for is Blue Lock and The Witch from Mercury. Blue Lock, for anyone who doesn't know, that's a soccer anime. And I watch Eiwashi, and Eiwashi is another fantastic soccer anime. And now I just have a thirst to see more good, like, soccer anime content. And Blue Lock is going to be the answer. Every person I know that has read the manga has been like, this is going to break the internet the moment it drops. Like, everyone I know that's read Blue Lock is like, this is it. Like, we need this. So it's Blue Lock and The Witch from Mercury. The Witch from Mercury is a Gundam show. And I like Gundam, but when I was younger, it was hard for me to get into Gundam. The only Gundam I really watched was Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, and I haven't watched Gundam since. So this is the newest installment of Gundam, brand new world, and their take on Gundam is very different. It has a women protagonist. It has a prologue and a first episode out that look really good, like summertime rendering level of animation. The plot is stellar, and the world, like, Gundam is known for having very deep government kind of plot, and the world looks insane. Animation looks summertime rendering level, like, incredible animation, and I'm really excited to just explore this world, explore the protagonist. This is the first time they've ever had a woman protagonist in the Gundam series, like, 40-50 year history, so I'm really excited to watch this.
I did not know that. The last couple of Gundams I've seen, two of them you can't even count as Gundams, because one of them is like Code Geass. They use Gundams, so I'm like, hey, they use Gundams, I'm going to count it. And what was the other one? Gurren Lagann.
Oh,
I like that one. That one was pretty good too. And I just recently started watching Iron-Blooded Orphans. A friend of mine from work decided, he was like, "Oh, you need to watch that." And I was like, "Okay." So I'm on episode like 5 for that one. So I definitely get it. Like, I have a middle spot for Gundam. Like, oh, the concept of Gundam is cool, but then, you know, Gundam is kind of like isekai, like. It's an up and down roller coaster with those two genres.
We need to stop the isekai hate.
Yes.
Yo, Jose, how do you feel about isekai?
I honestly, it depends on the type, because, like, I really hate when there's like a lot of cringiness in the scenario in which the isekai starts. So if it's something that I can see from a mile away, I kind of get like. It just doesn't feel genuine, right? So I tend to stay more on the shonen side or in other different genres. But I would say the one that I'm most looking forward to, besides Chainsaw Man, which I actually, okay, I don't know if I told you guys, but Chainsaw Man is, well, besides Kaiju number 8, it's the first physical manga that I have read in over 12 years.
Oh, wow.
It's the first physical manga that I actually picked up after 12 years of not reading them. Because, again, just like Travis said, like, accessibility was not always there, right? Especially when I was growing up, at least where I grew up, getting manga wasn't something that was super accessible unless you had the means to, you know, get it flown out for some reason, because even Amazon wasn't like super big on selling manga that far away time wise, right? So I would say Chainsaw Man, the anime, is something that I'm definitely looking forward to. I know a lot of our viewers and a lot of people around the internet are excited for Bleach, the Thousand Year Blood War arc. But I am honestly going to say the thing that I'm most excited for is My Hero Season 6. We had the first episode, and it was absolutely beautiful. Without giving any spoilers away, because I know people haven't seen it. Not a lot of people have seen it the entire way through. But the thing that I like the most about this first episode is the fact that there was no nonsense. We went straight into the action. right? There is no recap. It's literally just establishing how the war against the Paranormal Liberation Front is going to happen. So at least for me, seeing that battle play out as there's a ton of hype around the manga, which is coming out with chapters concurrently, is really exciting. But that's not I'm pretty sure there's other things that I'm missing that are coming out this October.
Oh, I was going to say, so you like how it was straightforward. I thought you were like everybody else who also liked that episode because a certain individual was in it that everybody lost their minds, and that is Miss Miracle herself. The bunny queen herself. Yeah. That's all I know about that's all I knew before I even got to watch the episode. All I saw was her on TikTok, Twitter, YouTube. She was everywhere. Everybody was losing their freaking minds. Both men, women, theys alike was just going feral.
Hey, she was putting it in work. She put it in work.
She was killing it. She was messing those gnomus up.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. But I think for me, the biggest thing is like going a little bit deeper into explaining One for All is like the thing that I'm most excited for. Because I feel like we've been going around it and just slowly peeling away layer by layer into what the true power of One for All is. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see that.
Facts. But you mentioned Bleach, and I right now Bleach are on the fence. Because it turns out that, you know, way back, not even I think a month ago, everybody thought that, it was in talks that Disney was going to do something with Bleach, whether take the rights of it or do something where they are the ones who are going to stream it. And then a lot of people were like, oh, there's no real validity to this. And it's just something that's just going off through the grapevine. Well, it turns out that it looks like that was true. Of course, there are some people who are misleading a little bit. It's not like Disney full-on bought Bleach. They did not do that. But they are putting Bleach on Hulu, which is Hulu is also under Disney. So it's more like that kind of setup. But it was very alarming to some people because there are a lot of people who went to go watch it on Crunchyroll and Funimation, and it wasn't there. Like, there were people making videos and stuff like, hey, what happened to Bleach? I was trying to watch Bleach for the new episode and stuff like that. We're going to go try to look recap on Bleach, and it wasn't there. So a lot of people were like, yo, did they just remove Bleach out of nowhere? But it turns out they did, and it's gonna be on Hulu. What do y'all feel about this little transition or movement to a different platform?
At least for me, okay, I'm going to be straight up. I don't mind it as much because we know that there are tons of anime on Hulu and they have not been censored. They are, there's even insofar as watching My Hero season 5 had some genuinely rough moments, visceral, violent moments. And there's other anime that are on Hulu that have made their home there basically. And people use it for watching anime. That was the main value proposition that actually had me subscribe to Hulu even before Disney bought it, was the rotating selection of anime that they had on docket. So I think that it sets a precedent for getting bigger names in the anime world to premiere on Hulu. I think it's a big play from Disney's end. I do believe that the main thing is not censoring it, right? That just give it to us exactly as the writers of the show and the mangaka meant the piece to be seen. And then after you see the reception on that, then you can branch out and see what other anime you can bring into the platform. I don't think it's necessarily bad because I haven't seen them censor anything super recently. But I think it's a matter of let's wait until it actually drops to criticize instead of banking on saying, oh no, Disney's going all woke and they're gonna mess with my Bleach after a decade of not having it. I think it's more of like a hold down, manage your expectations, watch it first, and then you can talk about it. How about you, Travis? How do you feel about Bleach on Hulu?
Hulu's always had a decent catalog of anime. I think it's great that it's there and not on Disney Plus. I think they won't censor it. I think in the way that it's going to be played, it's going to be fine. My fear is more of, since Hulu is now under Disney, as you said, it's a big play by Disney. And I feel like we're on the brink of what I'm going to call the anime wars, the anime streaming wars, where it's just going to be a mad grab for all of these different big name animes from a variety of different streaming services. And as the consumers, we're going to be given the short end of the stick because we're going to have to subscribe to 6-7 streaming services to keep abreast of our favorite anime, when before we only had to really subscribe to 2, maybe? Like, Crunchyroll really had everything. But if you didn't like Crunchyroll, you could just go to Funimation and you were fine, right? Like, so this just feels like we're entering a new era that I'm on the fence about. I'm glad that people like anime more, it's more mainstream, but I'm bummed about that.
I definitely agree with you, because I see both sides of this. I definitely agree with Jose that, yeah, it's opening the door for, you know, anime to be seen more. And, you know, who knows what ideas they can pop by. I mean, we all agree that Star Wars Visions was a incredibly cool concept, especially working with other anime studios, stuff like that. I would love to see more stuff like that. But I also been hearing a lot of things, well, what Travis is saying, like, yeah, a possible anime streaming war between, like, other places. Because, hey, what's going to stop others from doing that? Peacock might join in. Okay, we're going to take freaking One Piece. Okay, and then, yeah, and Apple TV, okay, well, we're going to take My Hero Academia, going back and forth. So you never know. And another thing that someone brought up, one of my mutuals brought up, was that Hulu, you got to deal with Hulu ads. And, you know, I would say out of all the streaming platforms, Hulu has very painstakingly long ads. I've never waited almost 3 minutes to watch something like that. So, but then again, but of course, you know, people can argue that, oh, well, there's different pay brackets for that, but that's still wild though. But yeah, now people are gotta watch Bleach and then wait for, like, all those ads to be consumed while on Hulu. But yeah, I mean, there's many different arguments and debates that we're definitely gonna have, and we're just gonna see what this does in the future.
I feel that. I think moving forward, because I think Crunchyroll bought Funimation, right? Or they're still in the midst of that happening. So I think those merge, I think that'll be like one of people's go-tos. If you subscribe to something, I think that'll be the one that people go to the most. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about subscribing to 6 different subscription services in order to see my favorite anime. I'm currently content with seeing, like, I don't know, like, getting to see Death Note and One Piece on Netflix. And then if I want to watch everything on Crunchyroll, it's already there as well. Like, I want to have that flexibility. It just depends on what you're willing to spend, right? Because, again, those Hulu ads, man, bro, they're crazy. But that also extends to other platforms. Most of the other platforms are going to have ad-supported tiers on their subscription models. So it's just a matter of what are you willing to spend for your anime, right? So...
Wait, so more people are adopting that whole pay for ad kind of thing?
Yeah, I think most of the major platforms are going to have an ad supported tier. So, I know Netflix is getting it. I think HBO Max is doing it once they merge with Discovery Plus. Mm-hmm. Hulu has it. I'm not sure if Disney Plus is going to have it, but if Hulu has it, I'm pretty sure Disney Plus might have it at some point. But yeah, that's just the way that streaming is going, at least right now. And as long as people keep paying for it, that's what's gonna happen.
No. that whisper no.
That's like, what? How dare you? Listen, if they dare show me a single ad on Netflix, No, just listen. And we talked about it briefly on on our last podcast, but like, we have to move forward. This is not the way forward. Like, paying for ads was always Hulu's biggest downfall. It was their biggest blight, and they were the only ones doing it. And it's frustrating that out of all the models to adopt what streaming services are doing, other streaming services are taking that from Hulu. That's crazy. I'm sorry for the rant, but yeah. No,
I mean, I definitely get it because I'm also there too. Because I definitely agree that, yeah, almost everyone's going to have ads. But I will say Hulu ads do stick out a little bit more. Like, I've never, all the other streaming platforms, I've never had to wait almost like 3 minutes to watch something ad-wise. And even then with like, I don't mind ads if they correlate to what I'm watching. Like, for example, if you watch Crunchyroll for free, you get things related to Crunchyroll or other anime. You get other recommendations of anime, like, oh, you're watching Isekai, you might as well watch Rise of the Shield Hero while you're at it. Or, hey, we got, you know, merchandise. Here you go. Go check that out. I've seen that before I became, before I got to the upper bracket with that one. But, yeah, it's very interesting. And then, yeah, with Netflix, that's wild. Netflix is doing that. I heard and I understood to a point why they did it. Like, yeah, because we're trying to find a way to be cost effective. So we're going to make this. So their caveat is that, yeah, we're going to have lower prices, but we're going to put ads into it. Or maybe just my humble opinion, I think maybe just calm down with some of these projects y'all are putting out a little bit. I'm not saying don't. I mean, I 100% champion freedom and the ability to make whatever. Oh, yeah, you have a cool idea. Let's green light that. Let's make that a show, movie, or whatever. But not everything needs to be greenlit. Because at least to me, I'm not in that driver's seat. I'm not driving that car. But from my passenger perspective, it just looks like y'all are greenlighting everything. So maybe that's where the money, I don't know. I don't know how to run y'all money, but that's what it looks like to me.
No, and I agree with you. I think they need to have fewer projects, and the money that they were going to take doing those other projects, funnel it into a handful of really good shows and do marketing for it. Just put the money also in marketing, because Netflix just came from Cyberpunk Edgerunners being a fantastically received show. It was not only an anime based on a game, which increased the player base for that game by a million players. It also was released under the binge model. They didn't have any more. I know, I am bitter. I am bitter. I will always talk about this. It was under the binge model, and it was stellar. Everyone loved it. No one had a problem. No one was like, oh, the hype's dead. We're still talking about it. So I want to see more of that.
Hey, if there's one proponent for the binge model, it's Edgerunners giving the run for their money for everybody. Because, I mean, even the sequel for Cyberpunk 2077 was announced due to the success that they had on that show. So, I mean, more power to you, at least for that one, bro. I mean, it's landing the chips exactly where people want to see them. So, hopefully for the future, we can see some improvements in the way that we see anime and other shows portrayed in different streaming services, at least from my end. But before we leave, I wanted to see if you guys were down to give your top three for things that you're watching, and then one thing that you want to watch this October. The one thing that you want to watch, because I know you guys are excited for some stuff, but like the thing that you're going to be there on release day.
All right. So the top three things that I'm currently watching are Andor from Star Wars. Like that so far. It is really interesting. Definitely stands out from all their other projects so far, besides The Mandalorian. Another thing I've been watching is The House of the Dragon. Bro, this stuff is wild. I mean, I know it's Game of Thrones, but damn, that's all I can say. But yeah, it revived my faith in Game of Thrones, because after season 8, I was like, I'm done with this. Don't even look at me. And then I was like, okay, I'll give a little peek. And then I'm like, okay, we kind of have a a little bit of a relationship. It's still rocky, but we're working things out. We're talking to a counselor right now. But, and the third thing I am watching is She-Hulk. I just want to know who's behind what's going on. Like, because there's an outside source. I want to know what that source is. And the thing I want to see for sure that I'm going to be there day one is Chainsaw Man. Look, I feel like right now, and it, plus it lines up with the manga landscape right now, because a lot of top tier and manga right now are all spooky themed. You got Chainsaw Man, you got Jujutsu Kaisen, you got another one I haven't read yet. Dang, what is it? I'm trying to remember what it was, but they're all like more darker than Shonen usually produces, especially in Shonen Jump. So yeah, Chainsaw Man, be there the day before.
I like that. How about you, Travis?
I like that list. So top three things I'm watching right now, it's going to be Overlord. It's going to be The Witch from Mercury and Mob Psycho season 3. The thing that I am really, I'm on the day, going to get out of bed. I can't wait to watch this. Frontline, it's Blue Lock for sure.
Oh, that's so good. And I can't wait to see that, because like I was a big fan of Haikyuu when it first, like the first time that we saw Haikyuu animated, I was like, oh shit, like sports anime are actually going to make a comeback. So I'm excited to see Blue Lock. But I guess for me, the top three things that I'm watching right now, I'm going to put One Piece at 3, because I had to take a little bit of a break because I got to episode 200. I finally got to episode 200. So 20% in. Yeah. And feel like it's such a long journey, but it's so enjoyable that I just have to keep it in my top three, because every time that I watch it, it's just like an aura of peace falls before me. I'm really enjoying the story and seeing how our boy Luffy goes from a really irresponsible captain to the best captain in the Seven Seas, you know? So that's the... Mizu's
he's still irresponsible. Man hasn't changed, but...
not changed. Okay, but we'll see that way.
But I'm glad that you mentioned that with how you said that you're taking a break, because a lot of people act like, oh, you have to watch it all the way through. And as a person who's an avid One Piece fan, it's my number one. I've taken breaks multiple times. So yeah, just taking breaks does not mean that you're not in love with it or nothing like that. So yeah, just letting you know, if you ever want to watch One Piece, you don't have to watch it in one sitting. You don't have to do that. It's not recommended anyway. You're going to be there for a long time. You're going to probably mess up your eyes.
Yeah. speaking about that, yes, please don't watch 10 episodes straight a daily, because I did that for 2 weeks. And dear God, my eyes were destroyed. It was a lot of opening credits for in my brain. 10 episodes daily, but I made it to episode 200, so we still have 800 and some change to go. Number two, at least for me, is My Hero Academia season 6. My Hero Academia is started off with a bang. People were loving the first episode, and I feel like we're going to get a well animated arc that is going to have everybody talking about it once it gets rolling. So MHA definitely in my top three, and number one is House of the Dragon. House of the Dragon has been the biggest thing of the internet over the past 7 weeks. It's broken records set by Game of Thrones. It had over, I believe, 29 million concurrent viewers. Not the last episode, the one before. I think we haven't gotten the numbers for the last episode, but it's been ridiculous, the amount of support. Those are like pre-pandemic level record-breaking numbers. And the story is good. The political intrigue is good. The CGI is good. And having the time skips has not derailed it. I would say having the time skips has not derailed it. It's only made it even more interesting, because now we have even more context to go through. So those are my top three. And then the thing that I'm most looking forward to this October, I kind of don't want to take Chainsaw Man because I know Misu took it, but I'm going to say the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to this October is, honestly, I want to see Halloween Ends. I'm going to shot out of left field. I want to see No Halloween because I'm excited to see if Michael Myers can finally bite the dust. I know he's not going to, but I want to see if in this timeline, Jamie Lee Curtis can actually pull it off and send our boy Michael Myers to a well-deserved permanent vacation. So that those are my picks.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not all the way caught up on Halloween, and you're telling me the man's not dead yet?
Nope.
At the same reaction.
He's not.
He hasn't been defeated? Like nope. Jason or Freddy? Oh, gosh.
Wait, so how did the other movies end? I thought they, like, what, they anchor him to the lake or whatever, right?
No, those that's for Jason, but for Halloween they basically made they rebooted everything based off the first movie. So Halloween from 2018 basically was the sequel to the first movie or the sequel to the second movie that actually canonically came out. And then they had Halloween Kills, which was the second part, which just made it even crazier. And now Halloween Ends is like the quote-unquote official ending of the main timeline. Now, if they add some more stuff, that'll be in the future. But I'm excited to see because it's apparently the last one canonically. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
Okay.
All right. I think we covered pretty much everything that we wanted to cover for today. But before we leave, let the people know where they can find you. Mizu.
You guys can find me on TikTok, Mizu Shogun, YouTube, Instagram, all Mizu Shogun. I appreciate you guys. Especially, I've been pushing more YouTube shorts on, and I definitely will plan on doing more actual YouTube videos. Got my laptop doing reactions, so I'll let you all see my reactions to all the new October anime coming out. And that's where y'all can find me.
All right. Love to see it. How about you, Travis?
Excellent, man. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Travis the Sibling.
Ooh, love to see it. Okay. And then you can watch me at I'm Tropical Joe. On all the major social media platforms. And then on YouTube, I have two channels that you can look at, Tropical Joe and Tropical Joe Gaming, where I'm posting everything related to gaming news and then everything related to pop culture on my main channel. But as always, thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to download the podcast wherever you decide to listen or enjoy our content. You guys have been absolutely amazing. And thank you guys for supporting the dream. As always, make sure you have some fun. Check out the Weeb Weekly on all social media platforms, and we will see you on the next one.